afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema 9 Months 2020 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon to all participants. Ilaria Bennati, our CFO, and Carlo Di Piero, our Investor Relations Director, are also connected to this call. Let me start by saying that since the end of February, we have proactively implemented a set of measures to mitigate the COVID-19 impact on our employee and on our customer of the three business division. And since last week, we have increased the percentage of people working from home, but we were able to test this way of working already some months ago when we had the lockdown in Italy, and the restrictions were stronger than today. So despite the negative macro environment caused by this pandemic situation, we have so far registered a good commercial performance with the recovery on the factoring turnover in the third quarter, which has increased 10% on a year-on-year compared to the same period of the previous year, and a robust purchase of a CQ portfolio. Then we have finalized the acquisition of the gold and jewelry back loans business unit, and we have completed the integration of this subsidiary of Pronto Pegno. But let me now go to the number that are included in the presentation that is available. So on the first slide, you see the number. So factoring turnover, which is equal to 2,183, has increased 4% on a year-on-year basis, and as I mentioned before, is a 10% increase of the third quarter of 2020 versus the third quarter of 2019. If we exclude the tax receivable and the receivable related to the football industry that have registered also a regain of growth in the last quarter, we have registered altogether a 6% growth on a year-on-year basis. The CQS and CQ business outstanding have reached 931 million, which is an increase of 21% on a year-on-year basis. The gold and jewelry back loans outstanding have reached 75 million from the 30 million that was at the end of the first part of the year, following the acquisition of the business from Banca Intesa. The net interest income is equal to 52.8 million, which is a reduction of 10% on a year-on-year basis, mainly influenced by factoring less late payment interest collection and accrual. The lower funding cost on a year-on-year basis is at 0.6%, which is in term of a quarter the same level of stock than the previous semi-annual result. The total income is equal to 72.1 million, which is almost stable. The cost of risk is equal to 36 basis points, with 7.2 million of loan loss provision, which is in line with the expectation. The total operating cost had increased, but this increase is mainly due to the higher contribution to the resolution fund, as we already mentioned in the previous quarterly result, and of the Atlantide consolidation in 2020, plus the non-recurrent expenses of integration cost coming from the acquisition of Banca Intesa activity of gold and jewelry-backed loans. And then Ilaria Benatti will explain more in details the trend. At the end, the net income is equal to 19.5 million, which is down on a year-on-year basis, as we expected, as I already mentioned in the previous quarter. And this is mainly due to the lower late payment interest contribution, as I mentioned before. Moving to the next slide, which is the slide number 3, as you can see, the factoring outstanding trend has shown an increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and the growth is explained by the volume which has been registered on the first half of the year. The tax receivable represent 21% of the total outstanding, in line exactly the same number, same percentage that we had at the end of the first part of the year. And for the same reason that I explained in July, the new volume of tax receivable is influenced by the rescheduling of all tax deadline. And so this amount of receivable is certainly in lower than what we would have expected, mainly to postponement of payment by the company of their tax. As you can see, the turnover on the CQ was higher on a year-on-year basis, better the performance of indirect component versus the direct component, because as you may remember, on during the lockdown period, there was a difficulty in collecting signature for new contract. So now the activity has moved back to normal, and hopefully in the next month we will not have a new lockdown again, but if I go back to the comment at the end of September, we are in line with the expectation excluding the period of the lockdown. The contribution of the business unit that has been purchased was not full in the third quarter, because the pawnbroking or jewelry-backed loan has been to consider for 80 days rather than 90 days. Then we have also to consider that historically in the month of July and August there are not many auction, and the auction, every time that we do auction, this is an income for the pronto pegno, and so that is something that has to be seen in the following months, the good result of the business. So I'm underlining this because these jewelry and back loan are, as I said, will produce their result in the following months. Also, thanks to the revamp of the auction that we will be able to do from now to year end. Now, I will leave the floor to Ilaria that will explain more in depth the result, and at the end I will comment the capital and I will take question. Ilaria, go ahead.
Thanks, Gianluca. Good afternoon to everybody. As usual, I'll start my comments from the balance sheet on slide 4. As shown in the table, total assets is up 4%, and in particular, the govies portfolio is down quarter-on-quarter at 991 million, with an average duration of 16 months. The sale of govies allowed us to register trading gains also in this quarter. Loans at amortized cost is now 2.8 billion and is up quarter on quarter, mainly thanks to CQ assets and gold-backed loans. In particular, factoring receivables are instead down 7% versus year-end due to higher collection over the quarters. CQ loans are up 14% versus year-end and also quarter-on-quarter, as Gianluca mentioned, and gold and jewelry-backed loans are significantly up quarter-on-quarter, again, as Gianluca mentioned, thanks to the acquisition of the business unit from Intesa San Paolo, and now the amount of credit stands at 75 million. Goodwill increase is related to the acquisition of the business unit just mentioned. On the liability side, due to bank's quarter-on-quarter increase, is driven by a bank financing agreement related to the pawnbroking acquisition, which was already in place and which will be refinanced at the beginning of next year. ECB funding is stable at 690 million. Due to customers' decrease quarter-on-quarter is mainly driven by the decrease in repos as a consequence of the sale of a portion of the Govies portfolio, and that has more than compensated the increase in term deposits. That securities decrease quarter-on-quarter is due to a reduction of the CQ securitization. We now move on to the next page and we discuss the P&L. 9 months interest income is down 11% year-on-year, and the drop is mainly driven by lower contribution of factoring, especially in the fourth quarter. As a consequence, we observe now a reduction in the contribution of factoring to total interest income, which is now 66%, while it was 72% in the same period last year and historically even higher. The reduction of income from factoring is mostly related to LPI from legal action. As anticipated during previous calls, the benefit of the update of accrual rates will be lower and lower over time, as the statistical model has now stabilized around the current level of accruals. So that was not a surprise for us. The update of the model performed in Q3 has provided levels which were just slightly higher than the previous ones. And as a result of that, the income effect of the accrual update has only been 1 million compared to the 4.8 million related to last year. Overall, the 9 months contribution of LPI from legal action has been 16.1 million compared to what it was in the 9 months 2019 at 24.3 million, so significantly higher than current levels. The segment where we've registered the stable performance still in the LPI segment has been extra collection, where the 7.7 million of collections compares with the 8.5 million in the first 9 months of last year. There has been no sale of LPI in this quarter. From this quarter, we've started to see a significant contribution of the pawnbroking business, also thanks to the acquisition. The contribution to total interest income of the business line has been 1.9 million, of which 1.1 is originated by the business unit acquired. Let's now move on to discuss margins. As you can see from the top right table, adjusted income margin is down year on year, driven by both factoring and CQ. CQ margin seems to have stabilized around the level seen in the last two quarters, while factoring margins have not benefited from the usual seasonality effect registered over the years, where the third and the last quarters usually had shown a sharp increase in marginality. So we didn't have that effect this quarter for the reasons we discussed, which is, as I said, mainly related to LPI accruals. We move on to discuss LPI now. The stock of LPI, which is represented in the bottom left table, stands at 153 million, of which 101 is part of the accrual perimeter. This is down quarterly, slightly down quarter on quarter, mainly due to cash collections. The amount of LPI currently recorded in the balance sheet is 50.2 million. We now move on to comment the total income performance, so if we turn to slide 6. In the first 9 months, total income is roughly stable year-on-year, thanks to the contribution of other income, which is treasury activity and the sale of a factoring portfolio. And this activity, this income has almost entirely compensated the drop in the net interest income. If we look at the net interest income, the decrease is mainly driven by the decrease in factoring income described before, while total cost of funding, which is now equal to 0.6%, is lower year-on-year and stable quarter-on-quarter. Also thanks to a good balance between diversification of the funding sources, costs, and duration. Net commission component is lower year-on-year as a consequence of lower origination of factoring commission products. The other income item also includes 2.1 million gain from the sale of factoring portfolios. We have registered also a strong contribution of the Govies portfolio in the first 9 months, which is in total worth 8.6 million. Of that, 3.6 is included in the net interest income and 5 million is included in the other income. Gold and jewelry-backed loans business has contributed to total income with 3 million, of which 1.6 is generated by the business unit. Cost on slide 7. As you can see, total costs are up year on year. The main driver of the cost increase in the last quarter has been the integration of the business unit starting from July. This accounts for 1.4 million operating costs and 1.3 million integration costs. If we then add up the 300k integration costs already incurred in Q2, we get to a total impact on costs for the acquisition for the first 9 months of 3 million. If we then break it down in the various components, we have that 1.6 million is the total integration costs, of which 1 million is the registration tax on goodwill. 1.4 million is operating costs, of which 1 million is personal expenses related to the new 58 headcounts. Then another important driver of the cost increase is the additional contribution of the 900K to the Single Resolution Fund, which we had already discussed in the first half. In the top left graph, you see the total operating costs have gone up by 9% year on year. But if we normalize it for the non-recurrent integration costs and for the contribution to the Single Resolution Fund, we get to an increase of 4% year on year. Then, in order to make a like-for-like comparison, if we deduct the impact of the 1.4 million operating costs, which I mentioned earlier, related to the business unit acquired, we reach flat operating cost year on year. We now move on to the next slide on funding. Funding mix keeps on being balanced between wholesale and retail. The retail component is now 54% and is up quarter on quarter. As mentioned already, the cost of funding is lower year on year, stable quarter on quarter at 0.6%. The wholesale component decrease is due to the reduction of the Govies portfolio as we discussed. And as said already, ECB funding is stable at 690 million. Retail funding is up in the quarter due to the term deposit stock, in particular for the foreign component. After managing the stock of term deposit down in the first half, we have readjusted the interest rate offered in order to resume the funding from this channel. We are now receiving stable inflows every month, which will smooth the redemption profile. The inflows we receive have an average duration of 12 months. After the end of the quarter in October, we have reimbursed the senior bond, and as mentioned already, we do not intend to tap the capital market in the short term. Finally, we move on to the next slide, slide 9, and we discuss asset quality. Gross NPL, as you can see, is down quarter on quarter thanks to the reduction in past due. Net bad loans represents 1.1% of total loans and is stable quarter on quarter. Cost of risk at 36 basis points is slightly lower quarter on quarter and stable year on year. As mentioned already in the previous call, loss loan provisions for the 9 months are higher year on year, and part of the increase is a consequence of the update of the impairment model to account for the worsening of the macroeconomic context caused by the ongoing health emergency. Other than that, we haven't registered any impact due to the COVID emergency on our assets. I'll now hand the floor back to Gianluca.
Hey, thank you. We are now in slide number 10, talking about the regulatory capital. As you can see, we were at in terms of core tier 1 at 13.7% at the end of June. Then with the acquisition of the business from Intesa, this went down to 11.7 because the cost of the acquisition was worth 200 basis points. And now from 11.7, we are up at 12%. Same consideration for the total capital ratio that were at 17.3% at the end of the first half of of the year, after the acquisition, immediately after the acquisition at 15.2%, and now is up from their number to 15.4%. Let me say that based on the economic and business environment and also looking at the data coming from the Association of Factoring Company, we are very pleased of the performance that we had in the last 6 months that prove a business which is resilient, even though, as anticipated during the previous call, the contribution of late payment interest is has been less, but this is something that we were expected, but this doesn't mean a reduction on the return on asset, but simply a postponement of some of the revenue for the following year. Bear in mind that the late payment interest have an accrual, have a rate of 8%, so more time means more return for the future. So I'm also very pleased for the acquisition finally of the pawnbroking business from Banca Intesa. Clearly this will show the contribution to the P&L in the following year, but the commercial trend is very strong. Let me say, unfortunately, because that means that the macroeconomic situation is worsening, but we still have a lot of people, new client and existing client, that every day come to our shop all around Italy. I have noticed a negative trend on of our stock in the market, but at the same time we have also noticed that has been published some short selling on our stock from Quant Fund as well, that could be seen as a negative signal, negative effect in the short term. But overall, I think that the fact that our stock has become so liquid that attract the attention of this type of hedge fund that short the stock will be is a positive signal. Means that the liquidity is big enough to have also this type of investor, and in the medium term, long term, this will be something positive for all the investor that would like to invest in a small cap like Banca Sistema, because they, thanks to the high liquidity on the stock, can probably have an easy way to enter and exit on the stock as well. I do expect that in the next 3 months from now to year end, the performance in terms of net profit will be in line with the first 6 months. Of course, as you know, our business is also a business where the last part of the year can have an important impact, so it can go up or down, mainly dependent on some one-off transaction on the factor, or some speed up in collection in of the receivable. Clearly, these are two elements that can change the trend. But if no extraordinary event will happen, I do expect that the net profit of the first 9 months will be projected for the rest of the year. Now, I will leave the floor to question for all the participants that would like to have a question.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Manuela Meroni with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon to everybody, and thanks for the presentation. I have some questions. The first one is on the factoring business. Factoring turnover increased by 4% in 9 months and 10% in the third quarter, but factoring outstanding is declining by 4% both quarter on quarter and year on year. So I'm wondering if you can explain the divergence between the trend of turnover and outstanding. Again, on the factoring business, you accounted for 1 million revenues for the update of the LPI model. Can you tell us what are the moving parts here? So higher or lower collection rate, different time values, or what else? And can we assume that the impact of the model update in the coming, in the next years will be negligible, considering that your statistical series are now more complete? And then again on the factoring business, I'm wondering if you can share with us an outlook for the factoring business in the next quarter and for 2021, both in terms of accrual and in terms of LPI collection. On the football company, we have read that some football companies are in crisis due to the lack of revenues. Do you expect to have some impact from that on your existing portfolio, or you are safe on that? And the last question, sorry for making the same question. Yesterday, the European Economic Committee asked for some revision of the calendar provisioning and the new definition on default. Could you share with us your view on that, and if you have any update on this matter compared to what you said in September?
Okay, thank you for all the question. Let me start to ask to some of the questions, and then maybe leave to Ilaria to complete maybe my answer with the additional comment. Being in different location, clearly I'm not able to to split. But in term of the factoring outstanding versus turnover, I will leave then to Ilaria the answer. In terms of LPI, you correctly said we are now at the level of accrual that is in line with the expectation. So we do not expect for the future an important adjustment like in the past. So that is, I would say, something that is positive. So we will have less volatility in our P&L on these items. The volatility that remain in place clearly is the time of collection. As we take today 62% of accrual of the 8%, we are not indifferent anyhow on the cash component. So if we are able to collect faster, this will have a positive impact on our P&L. I do not expect that due to the current situation, we will see some major speed up coming from court. Unfortunately, probably see the opposite. So postponement of cases in court, which will imply for us less collection, but probably more return because of the more time. As of today, based on our model, we did not have any statistical, and probably because there was a short period, evidence of major difference in terms of time value, because otherwise we will have adjusted the time value accordingly. We have to see, based on the current situation, if the close of court, of the slowdown of court cases will have a statistical impact in the model. In this case, we may have to consider a different time value, and this could have a negative adjustment that in any case I remain positive that can be readjusted with the positive accrual evidence. Just to in general, but maybe Ilaria can be more precise, in terms of outlook, we have today more than under 50 million of LPI. We have taken the perimeter of accrual, if we exclude the city that are in distress where we are not allowed to take accrual or other cases where we are not taking accrual, so the perimeter is 100 million. And we have taken today only 50 million in the P&L. So that means that we have other 100 million of LPI that didn't go through the P&L. If we consider that the performance in terms of collection has always been above 80% of the 8%, this means that in the following year, on accrual or on cash basis, we will have this treasure of 100 million that will go sooner or later through the P&L. In terms of the problem of football company, I understand the general comment. At the same time, bear in mind that our risk is protected because our credit is towards the broadcaster and towards the league. And when we look at the numbers of the football company, we haven't seen a major change in the number. The company, the football club that are performing very badly are probably the top one, which are outside of the perimeters of our client, because we, with the top three, four football team, we never had any discussion for different reasons. One is because they are used to a cost of funding that is not in line with our return, so we cannot be competitive. Second, because we see them as more risky, because usually these most important football club, they invest a lot of money up front in order to try to be in the European League, but if they fail, as it happened to some of these club, and they invested a lot of money, but then they fail to go in the European League, they don't have the revenue coming from the television right, which by definition will create a drop in their P&L. This is independently from the COVID or non-COVID. This has always been the case. From a risk perspective, the best club are the ones that stay on the bottom part of the first league, and they may go down to the second league because they receive what they call in technical term a parachute, so they receive a subsidy thanks to that. So thanks to this subsidy, they reduce their cost and they get more revenue. So we are not concerned in terms of the football company that we are financing. In terms of calendar provisioning, clearly, there are continuous updates. Even last week, there's been from the regulator additional Q&A. So it seems that there is a moving, keep moving target clarification and so on. We try to keep up to date ourselves on the situation. But based on what we see today, we do not imagine to have a major impact coming from the business that we are we are involved. If they postpone the calendar provisioning, I think that is good for the market, is good for the banking sector, probably is the most wise decision that should be taken from politician or from regulator, but we are not the one that are asking for it, because we don't see that as a major impact to our activity. Now, Ilaria, if you would like to answer to the turnover versus outstanding on the factoring.
Yes, sure. As you rightly pointed out, Manuela, the outstanding year-on-year has decreased by 4%, despite the solid growth in turnover. This is entirely due to the amount of collections over the quarters. We have received a collection amount which was higher by 17% versus September last year. So just to give you some figures, last year in September we had cashed in 1.8 billion. At the end of September this year we had cashed in 2.16 billion. So an increase by 17%. The increase is mainly related to fiscal receivables, while on the other side, commercial receivables have shown a stable pattern of collections. Just to give you again some figures, last year in September we had collected 133 million of fiscal credits. The amount in September this year is 400 million, so an increase which is triple digits. So this is the only explanation to the decrease in outstanding.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana with Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. Just one question on my side. To me, the main positive surprise in the results was the evolution of your capital ratios. You gained around 30 bps quarter on quarter. Can you please give us some explanation of the trends explaining this increase? Thank you.
Ilaria, do you want to take the question?
Yeah, sure. In terms of trend, basically, the 12% ratio is has a net impact of the positive effect of the reduction in the CQRWA consumption, which occurred in June this year, and the negative effect of the goodwill related to the acquisition of the pawnbroking business, which occurred in September. So the two effects almost entirely compensated one each other, although they had occurred in two different quarters. So the 12% is the result of that, together clearly with the increase in the capital given by the performance of the business.
Plus, let me add, if you look at the overdue, there's been a reduction of overdue. And, overdue has an RWA of 150%. If we are able to reduce what is technically called overdue, and we are able to do it, this go back to the original RWA that can be 0%, it can be 20% or 50%. So these things will add also positive impact on the capital ratio.
Oh yes, sure. Many thanks. This is the element I was missing. How did you reduce so significantly your past due loans?
Well, we have in order to preempt any possible problem of the future coming with the new definition of default, our collection team is tackling those positions where we may see a past due. While in the past We did consider it in the collection strategy as I would say neutral. Now we are taking more and more attention to everything that comes to past due. So we offer restructuring of position in terms of repayment plan, and we may offer some settlement in order to fast the collection. So we take action proactively more than in the past, keeping in mind our goal to reduce as much as we can the past due, and in order to free up capital.
Okay.
So I would say become a more strategic activity rather than operational, as it was more the case in the past.
Yeah, very clear. Many thanks.
The next question is from Filippo Prini with Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Two brief questions. The first one is on the margin of the CQ business. Could you tell me which is the exact contribution of this business line to the interest income of this quarter? And still on CQ, if I understood correctly, maybe you are facing some headwind from the effect of early repayment. Can you give us some visibility on the end of this negative effect on your margin? Thank you.
So I'll take this question, Gianluca.
Yes, please, Ilaria.
Okay. So in terms of margins, the CQ margins have seem to have stabilized around the levels shown for the past couple of quarters, which means around a level between 2.6 and 2.8%. And this is expected to continue in the future. In terms of contribution to interest income, the contribution of the CQ business has been almost flat with respect to the last year. To give you precise figures, we had interest income for almost 17 million from the CQ business this year, as opposed to the 17.3 million last year. So, as you said, as I said, almost flat. It's true that the effect of early prepayment is affecting profitability. Otherwise, would have been able to show a higher contribution to P&L, considering that the amount of outstanding has indeed increased. We believe this year is the peak of this effect, because most of the portfolios that we had purchased from external originators have reached the time, which is 4/5 of the contractual life, the time where the prepayment effect is more sharp. So probably 2020 and 2021 will be the financial years where this effect is sharper. Going forward, this effect should reduce in size.
Yeah, only a legal point that you are able to refinance only when you reach 4/5 of the period, and those are the coming back to the original portfolio when we build it, most of the position. So we are ending to this period in 2020-2021.
Okay, so very briefly, so maybe you should have also some tail effect next year, and it should be clean in 2022.
Correct.
Maybe not entirely clean, but take also into account the fact that we are provisioning against this effect. So the impact, the future impact on the income statement should be smoother over time.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi Gianluca, thank you very much for the presentation. I was my first question is on fourth quarter outlook, in particular on net interest income and the cost of risk. As far as net interest income, I'd like to understand the moving parts you expect in the fourth quarter, in particular on the contribution from the pawnbroking business. It was 1.6 million this quarter. There is any evidence that you could improve in the fourth quarter, also take into account the possibility maybe of a positive mark-to-market of the gold. Maybe this will be more spread over 2021, but if you can share with us your thoughts on this line. And in terms of spread, what do you expect in the fourth quarter? Still some pressure or maybe an improvement? So if you can give us some ideas on that. And on LPI as well, I think that you don't expect an increase in LPI from legal action. So if you can give some numbers on that. And also if you can give us an update on October turnover. So how was the business this month? Do you expect a specific lockdown maybe in some areas could have a negative impact both on legal action and turnover production? The second point is on the cost of risk. We saw a good, as you said, that you took action on past due, so there was a positive trend there. Cost of risk was in the area of 2 million per quarter, more or less net of the model update in the second quarter. What do you expect for the final quarter in terms of cost of risk? The third question is on Common Equity Tier 1 ratio. So basically on a pro forma basis was already 11.7% of the Common Equity Tier 1. So 12% mainly due to, as you said, lower weighting for the reduction of past due, or there is also a positive impact from IFRS reserve on Govies portfolio, and if you can share with us any unrealized capital gain on the portfolio. And finally, on the strategy, do you see in the current scenario any alternative business that you can look at, as you did in the past with the pawnbroking, with the CQS, with you know, low capital absorption and high return? Thanks.
Okay, so many questions, even though you classify as three questions, but I counted more. I will leave most to Ilaria because they're relating to number, but I will take some in terms of turnover. October, the October turnover as of today is higher compared to the October of last year. We continue to see the component of tax receivable being lower than from the past. And going to the end of the year, can you still hear me? Yes? Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Okay. I don't know. Somebody put... okay, good. So the in terms of turnover from now to the year end, I do not expect to see some of the big ticket of tax receivable that we have seen in the past, simply because this area of tax receivable is deeply offsetted by government measure that are provided to companies. So the area of tax receivable is something that I do not expect in these days to increase significantly, as it was the case of last year with some big ticket, which today we don't have any visibility on that. In terms of collection of LPI, as I mentioned, I don't see, due to the probably even further restriction, potentially a new lockdown, any possibility that the collection of LPI, which is the part of collection that go through court, to speed up, but eventually to slow down. So while, as Ilaria mentioned before, we have received a very good income in terms of payment of receivable from obligor, these are mainly related to receivable that were not in legal action. But for the component of receivable in legal action, we do not expect that the trend of the positive trend will be from now to year end. That's the reason why I said that our expectation of the profit, net profit from now to year end, will be in line with the first 9 months, because this extra or one-off transaction, as well as fast collection from now to year end, may not happen as was the case of the past. This means that the return on asset is still very strong and it continues to be resilient. But from a P&L, as we had the discussion already in the previous quarter, this could be postponement of a part of the P&L for the future, probably even higher, because with 8% rate, if we wait for more, is potentially even positive for the long-term return on the bank. But many of these things will also depend on what is really going on from now to the next, in the next few days, few weeks, a new lockdown. They are going to close a court like they did during the lockdown period. We don't know, but certainly we do not imagine more activity from court that will justify an increase of collection of LPI.
So on this point on factoring, so basically assuming no pickup in the LPI from legal action,
yes.
Some positive seasonality in the fourth quarter in terms of volumes, and maybe in terms of margins, less tax receivable should improve the spread. I would expect net interest income to go up in the fourth quarter compared to the third quarter.
If we exclude the LPI component, so not net interest income, the interest on factoring excluding the LPI component may go up, but the overall net interest income, if the component of LPI, which is part of it, will not perform like in the past, that means that potentially we can see even a reduction of net interest income compared to the past. It depends how you would like to see it. But if you look at also on the first 9 months, based on we distribute the data through the press release, but what was missing was the component of the LPI mainly on the net interest income, but the performance of the commercial factoring was absolutely in line with the past.
No, I was referring quarter on quarter, not year on year.
Okay. Quarter on quarter.
Should go up.
Quarter on quarter.
Christian, also the first quarter last year was particularly strong, the quarter itself. So clearly the comparison vis-à-vis Q4 last year might not be appealing this year, as in the first quarter we had some big transactions, mainly in terms of early collections of fiscal receivables that boosted the Q4 last year.
I think that Christian was referring to Q4 versus Q3 this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, Q4 versus Q3 this year will be in line. So we will not have the spike that we had in the Q4 2019. coming from speed up of collection.
And as far as the pawnbroking business?
Yes. Then all the other questions I will leave to Ilaria to answer.
Okay, so I'll start from the pawnbroking business. As you rightly said, in the quarter, the business unit, the new business unit, the one that you acquired, has contributed for 1.6 to total income, and not much to the bottom line due to the integration costs that we mentioned. I mentioned the fact that the acquisition, as Gianluca mentioned, was finalized with some delay. And again, to recall what Gianluca said, to the fact that the third quarter is weaker than the other quarters in terms of number of auctions that you can do. Having that in mind, we expect that the fourth quarter will be higher in terms of contribution. We are estimating that the contribution of the overall business line in terms of total income will be around 5.5 million, of which 3.5 million should be originated from the business unit that we acquired. Overall, we expect that going forward, the contribution of the new business unit to the bottom line should be accretive, and that mainly from next year onwards. We expect that the contribution in terms of bottom line should be around 2.5 million per year, with the potential to reach 3 million after cost efficiency. For example, in terms of cost efficiency, we will be able to reduce the rentals significantly when we move out from the current locations at the expiry of the rental agreements that are in place with Intesa as part of the purchase agreement we signed.
So you are assuming a speed up of pawnbroking in the fourth quarter, because in the first half it was 1.4 million.
We are assuming a speed up, yes. And some of that comes from new volumes. Part of that will come from the revaluation of the gold, as you mentioned. Part of that would also come from the fact that we will be able to do more auctions, so we will be able to recover the foregone income deriving from the auctions that were not performed during the summer period. So the sum of all these components is such that we should be expecting a higher contribution in Q4. Having said that, as I said, the steady state will start from January onwards, and from then we will be able to see the real accretion of the business to the bottom line of the group.
The unrealized gain on Govies?
We have a very positive mark-to-market of our government bond position. At the moment, we are not expecting to sell any of the positions that we have, simply because we are monitoring the market. Things might change up to year-end, but as I said, we will be very opportunistic in doing so.
But the unrealized, I think that the question was, how much is the unrealized gain?
Around 7 million euros for the overall position.
Okay.
Alternative business, we will start, this was another question, are we looking to alternative business? Unfortunately, we have to postpone the start of the new business plan. We will start now, actually in 2 weeks' time, to look at to start to work on the next 3-year business plan. We are collecting from internally our mind what are also other business that we may want to involve, and these other business can be business that are part of the three division, or potentially even something that we haven't thought of. But they can come up during this session that we will have. We have Boston Consulting Group as advisor that will work with us for the new 3-year business plan. We do expect to have the plan ready on the first quarter of next year to be announced to the market. And in that discussion, we will look at all the potential growth, including business that have the same type of profile of pawnbroking. Even though, as already mentioned in other call, we do expect that the pawnbroking business, we still have some potential of acquisition of a portfolio or branches from other banks. Today we are the largest pawnbroking owned by a bank, but still there are other 5-6 banks that have this pawnbroking in a few of their branches, which is something that we may have an interest to consolidate.
No progress from previous call on UBI asset pawnbroking business.
I think that UBI Intesa has to cover UBI, and UBI has 25 million of pawnbroking. I think that we are a bit too early stage to discuss the acquisition, because probably Intesa still are in the process of the integration of UBI, but I do not expect that if they just sold the business that it was worth more than twice what is UBI today, they will keep UBI and in their perimeters. So we will be ready in the, Intesa will be ready to make an offer.
Okay. And I had another question on cost of risk. What do you expect?
Ilaria?
We expect the cost of risk to trend a bit higher towards year end with respect to current levels. Not much, but, you know, just a couple of more basis points, between 2 and 4 basis points higher than that.
I think that we are continuing to to go up due to the macro trend. So we continue to take an increase of percentage of the generic provisioning.
Okay, just a final question, I promise. On dividends, how is work in progress, let's say, because there was some discussion
good
that
question. The situation outside is not particularly clear, but let me say that we have proposed to the General Assembly that is going to be held at the end of November to confirm the dividend of 2019 as dividend to be paid. And the proposal is to call for a new General Assembly in the first quarter of next year in order to distribute the dividend, so as soon as we will be able to do it. So it could happen in next year we will have two dividend payments, one relating to 2019 and one relating to 2020. So the amount of dividend are still accounted as debt to shareholder in our P&L, so the 12% core tier 1 exclude the dividend, both the dividend of 2019 as well as the accrued 25% of profit that could be the dividend for next year. Now, what is going on at the European level is not very clear. We have seen that some less significant bank in Germany are distributing dividend already today. So they got an informal go-ahead green light from BaFin, and the largest German popular bank had distributed dividend, or is in the process of distributing dividend. For the rest, because they decided to take what in theory should be the position for all banks, an approach that on a one-to-one basis. So in Germany they are doing it, but elsewhere they are not taking this, the regulator not taking this type of individual approach. So they are not allowing to distribute dividend or to do buybacks, because also buybacks are banned, as you know, from the recommendation. There are, as far as we understood, a lot of pressure at the level of the ECB in order to waive this restriction, because the assumption is the following. If the banking sector in general will need more capital because there will be new NPL, and so a lot, maybe traditional banks will need more money, who is going to inject money into a capital increase if the return on investment is banned to zero? So the dividend, as far based on our calculation, we understood that the amount of dividend of European bank that has been held today, so has been freeze for the time being, is about 30 billion in Europe. The amount of capital increase during the period of the crisis, so money that has been injected in the European banking sector, was under 50 billion. So clearly, the dividend are not enough to cover the shortfall of capital of the crisis on the banking sector. And if you don't, if you continue to ban the distribution of dividend, you will simply have a situation where investors will no longer invest in banking sector, or they go elsewhere, because in the United States, in Australia, in other parts of the world, banks are distributing dividend on a selective basis, but they are distributing dividends. So global investor will go elsewhere if in Europe dividend will not be paid to investor. So this, as far as understood, has been the key discussion at the ECB level. And but we don't know the outcome. They are keeping, they are keep postponing their decision. I think that if they take a decision, hopefully in November or in December, most likely will not be a unanimous decision from the board of the ECB.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Garbi, Ms. Bennati, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much to everybody for attending to this call, and have a nice weekend to everybody. We will have a new call for the end of the year result. Thank you. Bye.